Well, tonight we find ourselves at the beginning of the second section of the Ignite series. Last week, we concluded our study of the first section of the Ignite series, and the Ignite series is studying the gifts of the Spirit. So that section was the speaking gifts. And as we wrapped up that first section, it's possible that you discovered that you don't have any of the speaking gifts. It's possible that we got to the end of that section and you said, nope, none of those are mine. Well, that's okay. Don't be discouraged. We're not even halfway through the study of the spiritual gifts. And the thing that I want to encourage you, if you got to the end of that section, the speaking gifts, only to discover that you have none of those gifts, we're not all called to be the mouths for the body of Christ. Some of us are called to be the mouths of the body of Christ, but not all of us are called to be the mouths of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's what we're studying tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, backing up a little ways in the text, looking at verse 17, 18, and 19, it says this: if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And so maybe we got through the first section of this study and you discovered that, hey, I'm part of the mouth of Christ, the body of Christ, meaning the church. I'm a mouthpiece in the church. I'm always mouthing off. Maybe that's what you discovered about yourself. But maybe you said, these gifts aren't mine. But now that we're getting into the second section, then you might discover in this second section of gifts, those gifts that God has given to you. And so this second section are the serving gifts. And in this section of the Ignite study, we will see and study gifts such as the gift of counseling, gift of administration, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy, the gift of faith, and discerning of spirits. But we begin this section tonight with the gift of helps. We find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 27, where it says, now you are the body of Christ, and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. We'll stop right there. You see, we've studied apostles, we've studied prophets and teachers in the first section, the speaking gifts. In the future, we will study miracles and healings in the third section, which is called signifying gifts. But tonight, at the beginning of this section, the speaking or the serving gifts, we find ourselves studying the gift of helps. And so let's talk about the gift of helps. And in order to more fully understand this gift of helps, we're going to look at this gift three-dimensionally. We're going to be using 3D words. The first D word is define. We will define this gift. The second D word is diagnose. We will simply diagnose this gift to discover whether we have the gift or not. And then third, we will develop. We'll learn how, if we do have this gift, we will learn how to develop it. And so let's begin by defining this gift, the gift of helps. Now remember, we've already talked about it a few times, but the word gift comes from that Greek word charisma. Charisma. And charisma speaks of an extraordinary power to serve. It's that grace that God gives us above salvation that enables us to go into the church by the power of the Holy Spirit and serve the church around us. So that's what charisma is, the gifts or the charisma of the Holy Spirit. And so the charisma or the gift of helps, this word helps means to aid or to lend a hand. So the gift of helps is simply charisma to aid or help. It's extraordinary power to assist, or the supernatural ability to lend a hand. One distinction that I want to make here is that there are those who equate the gift of helps with the gift of ministry found in Romans chapter 7. So a lot of people take these two gifts and put them together because there are a lot of similarities between the gift of helps and the gift of ministry. But I think there's enough distinction between the two gifts. There's certainly a different Greek word used for the gift of ministry and the gift of helps. And so because there's a different Greek word used, and because there's enough that's not similar between the two, I've detailed this study so that we study the gift of helps on one night and the gift of ministry on another night. So there are many similarities between the two, but I also see enough difference between the two to draw a distinction between the two gifts. We're going to study the gift of ministry in weeks to come. But, you know, it's at that point in time that we'll learn more about how the gift of ministry has more to do with the gift of administration. And that's basically the same thing. And so where it was detailed or called the gift of ministry at the outside of the study, we'll learn that this gift of ministry is all about administration. It's all about being organized and helping to organize ministry, being kind of like what in the business world is called middle management. That's more like the gift of ministry, where the gift of helps is more about just rolling up your sleeves, getting your hands dirty, and doing the manual labor of ministry. So that's sort of the difference between the two. We'll learn more about the hands-on dirt and grime of getting your hands in there and doing the almost non-spiritual aspects of ministry. That's what we're talking about tonight. It can seem non-spiritual, but it really is truly spiritual to get in and exercise the gift of helps. Get your hands dirty in serving the church. And so this is a gift that's typically behind the scenes. For example, we have around about 120 people that consider Calvary South Austin their home. And of that 120, 15 showed up this past Saturday afternoon. They filled potholes in the parking lot. They cleaned the carpets that you walked in on. They dusted and mopped and organized. Now, you know, in my four-wheel drive truck, when I hit a pothole coming into the parking lot, I'm just like, yeah, you know, awesome. And I feel the truck jolt, and that's what I'm talking about, you know. But some of you guys are in these little cars with the little bitty wheels and stuff, and you hit the pothole, and your car actually falls in for a little bit before it comes back out. You don't like that, do you? So, you know, there was people with the gift of helps who were out here last Saturday. It was drizzling and wet, and they're out there mixing concrete and pouring it into the holes and having a blast doing it. Others were in here who just wanted to help, and they cleaned carpets, and they worked on this building. They beautified the building. You don't know probably who those people are, but they were here doing that. There were also two that arrived this morning, getting the building ready for tonight's service. They vacuumed, they cleaned the bathrooms, they made this church a nice place to come to this evening. All you know is that you show up and it smells nice, bathrooms are clean, it's not a truck stop. How many of us sit there and consider, wow, somebody actually spent their time cleaning this thing? How does Bungie actually get the bathrooms clean and get the Bible study prepared, you know? Well, no, there's people that assist me. They come up and relieve me from having to do those things so that I can focus on teaching the Word, and they come along with their gift of helps to assist. There's also a group of women in this church who prepare meals for members of the church who just gave birth, or maybe they're sick at home and can't take care of themselves or their family. And women preparing meals take these meals over to those families or those women to assist them during that time. That's the gift of helps at work. All throughout the New Testament, we see people who have the gift of helps. I believe that it's the gift of helps that we typically see most people having in the church in some form or fashion. I think all of us, to some degree, have this gift of helps. The book of Romans, Romans 16:3 says that Priscilla and Aquila were Paul's fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Romans 16:6 says that it was Mary who labored much for us. Romans 16:9 says that Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Romans 16:12 says Tryphena and Tryphosa who have labored in the Lord. Moving into the book of Colossians. Colossians 4:7 says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Also in Colossians 4:9, 10, and 11, Onesimus, Aristarchus, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, and Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. The book of Philemon, there's some of these names repeated, but Paul adds Philemon, Demas, and Luke to the list of fellow laborers. And I could go on and continue to show you other fellow laborers in Christ. These were men and women who were rolling up their sleeves and doing the work of ministry. They were putting their back into their faith. There are three distinct groups of people who benefit, who are directly impacted by Christians who have the gift of helps. Let's talk about those three groups. There's church leaders, there's church members, and unbelievers. I could have just said everyone. Because you're either a church leader, or you're a church member, or you're lost and you're outside of the church. So everyone is impacted by Christians who have the gift of helps. That's how far-reaching this gift goes. Let's look at two examples. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, we see Paul talking to the Philippians about a special helper, a special worker, this guy who had basically helped to the point of even becoming sick because he wasn't taking care of himself. I would never encourage you to do that. You need to take care of yourself. But when you have the gift of helps, that's what you want to help others, and that's what Epaphroditus was doing. Philippians 2:25 says, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." So understand that this fellow with this strange name comes along and he ministers to Paul, serves Paul, meets Paul's needs to the degree that Paul, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived, turned to the Philippians and said, "This guy is necessary for you." What would it be like if you were that person that Paul was writing a letter about you and said, "This guy is necessary for your ministry"? Boy, that would give me chills to consider that Paul would consider me someone that was necessary for the ministry. But Epaphroditus, Paul said, was necessary for the ministry there in Philippi. So we see here that church leaders and church members benefit from this fellow who had the gift of helps. He ministered to Paul's needs, and then he ministered to the needs of the church in Philippi. The second example I'd like to draw your attention to, you don't have to turn there, but it's John's third epistle, where we find Gaius, who exercised the gift of helps, and he's commended for helping Christians and non-Christians. Another one that we'll look more at when we get to the gift of ministering or the gift of administration is the seven, we find those seven deacons in Acts chapter 6. And those seven deacons in Acts chapter 6 who were given the gift of administration turn around and use that administration to raise up people with the gift of helps. And as a result, we'll see how the church leaders, the church members, and the lost were blessed as a result through that gift of helps and gift of administration. And so let me give you guys a simple working definition of this gift of helps, something that will hopefully wrap your mind around everything that we just talked about. The gift of helps is the supernatural ability to lend a hand to church leaders, church members, as well as the lost, usually in a temporal way, but sometimes in a spiritual way. Okay, let me give that to you again. The gift of helps is the supernatural ability to lend a hand to church leaders, church members, as well as the lost, usually in a temporal way, but sometimes in a spiritual way. And so let's diagnose. Let's consider for a moment, do I have this gift? Is this something that God has gifted me with? And so here's some questions that you can ask yourself to discover if you possibly have this gift or not. Do you automatically pick up trash when you see it on the ground? It's a good question. Are you the one that walks past it? You see it, but you walk right on past it. Too hard to bend over. And that trash looks pretty heavy. That wrapper from that candy or whatever. No time for that. You walk right past it. Second person walks right past it. Third, and you're sitting there and you watch 10 people walk past the piece of trash. And you're sitting there going, why don't these people pick up that piece of trash? And you finally just go over there and pick it up yourself. Does that describe you? If it does, you might have the gift of helps. Maybe you walk in and you're the first one to see a light bulb out in the church. You know, and you're like, well, why is that light out? You know, what's going on with that? You have that attention to detail of the things that are wrong in the building. Why is that coffee stain on the floor like that? You know, why doesn't somebody clean that up? If you're asking those kinds of questions, then chances are you have the gift of helps. What about this? Do you enjoy working with your hands? Do you enjoy getting your hands dirty? You like working on things, fixing things, building things? Maybe you like working on cars, or maybe you like working in the wood shop. It's possible that you have thought, man, I'd love to serve God, but what would I do with this gift that I have or this talent? How could I serve God? I'm a mechanic. How could I serve God? I fix vacuum cleaners. I mean, how could I serve God? I do this manual labor job. I wish I could serve God, but I could never see this being used in the church. I'll tell you right now, we have a busted vacuum cleaner. You know, if you have the gift of helps and you fix vacuums, we'll put you to work after service tonight. Do you ever have a desire to mow your neighbor's lawn just to bless them? You see, typically it starts like this. Why doesn't the neighbor mow his lawn? And then God gets a hold of your heart and says, why don't you mow your neighbor's lawn? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why don't I just go over there and mow my neighbor's lawn? Bless them. Is that something that you've thought about doing? I haven't, but maybe you have. I'm the guy that gets home and says, man, I wish my neighbor would mow my lawn, you know? Maybe you offer assistance to your neighbor when you see them out painting their house or mowing their lawn. Maybe you come over with a, you know, hedger and say, I'll take care of your hedges for you. If that sounds like you, then chances are you have the gift of helps. If your friend or family member is in the hospital, do you offer to cook for their family or clean for their house? Maybe you're the first one in line to rush food over to the hospital and make sure that they're okay. You're the kind of person who is ready to step in and do the chores that they can't typically do in the condition that they're in. Or how about this? Have you ever said, I would love to help out at church, but I just do these manual labor things. I just don't know how I can help. If you say yes to these questions, then take out your Ignite inventory. With your Ignite inventory, you're probably handed one on the way in, or you've had one throughout the course of this study. On there, you see the gift of helps. And to the right of that, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If this describes you, if you are the kind of person who says yes to these questions, then you're a 10. Circle the 10 on there. But if you're saying, absolutely not, that doesn't describe me at all, I'm nowhere near that, then circle a 1. But maybe you find yourself somewhere in between. Maybe you said yes to some of the questions, no to others. Maybe you're a 5, 6, 7, somewhere along in there. Circle the one that you think best describes you when it comes to the gift of helps. There are several things, though, as we move into this develop section of the study. There are several things that you can do to develop this gift. And the first thing that I want you to do is consider Jesus. Consider Jesus, who is God Almighty, the creator of the universe. We don't have time to go into the whole doctrine of the Trinity, but understand that there's the triune God, and this one part, the Logos of God, actually came to the earth and took on the form of a man. And so divinity put on humanity and walked amongst us. And as he walked amongst us, he taught brilliant sermons. The Sermon on the Mount, the most brilliant sermon ever given. And the same man turned around and washed the feet of his disciples. Now understand that churches today, they have foot washing ceremonies and they announce it beforehand. And you know that, okay, this coming Wednesday night is going to be a foot washing ceremony. So you run out and get a pedicure and you wash your feet, put on the clean socks, put on your best shoes, and you show up and your feet smell like roses, right? That's not if we ever did a foot washing ceremony, I'd make sure that I hadn't washed my feet for a week. So that you would just receive the greatest gift, after you washed, your gift would be in heaven after you washed my feet. You'd be so blessed in heaven after washing my feet. Foot washing in the first century, these guys were walking around, all right? Imagine, you've got your sewage running on the side of the road. You've got animals everywhere and doing what animals do best. You've got dirt roads, you've got mud, you've got all kinds of stuff. And you're walking through all of this, not with like some nice Timberlands on that are protecting your little toesies, but sandals, open-toe sandals. Your feet are getting filthy. So you're sweating, the sweat's running down. You don't have these nice tube socks on that are, collecting your sweat. No, your feet are collecting dirt and mud and gunk and all kinds of stuff. And so the tradition was that the servant, when you got to somebody's house, the servant would come and basically wash all of that muck off of your feet. And that was just one of the lowest jobs you could have had in the first century. And after a long walk, Jesus and his crew, Jesus bends over and begins to wash the muck and the gunk and the dirt off of the disciples' feet. That's the gift of helps. There wasn't a servant in the upper room. They didn't provide a servant to wash the feet of the disciples. And Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll do this. I'll wash these feet. That's the gift of helps. So consider Jesus. That if you have the gift of helps, it's not a lowly task. Just because it's not seen by all, just because nobody comes up and says, great job filling that pothole last Saturday. I remember one time getting bitter about my gift of helps. I was helping to set up and tear down stuff at Calvary North Austin. We were in the Seventh-day Adventist church at that point in time, and so we had to set up every service and tear down every service. And it was just a lot of work every Sunday, every Wednesday. And I just found myself getting bitter about it. Because everybody would run off and go to lunch together, and here's me and three other guys just lugging stuff around. Nobody would ever thank us. Nobody even knew we were doing it. And one day I was walking, I was carrying something pretty heavy, and I'm just going, this is such a thankless job. And I remember the Lord speaking straight to my heart, saying, why don't you let me thank you when you get to heaven, instead of looking for the thanks here on earth? And it just gripped my heart, and I just said, yeah, that's right. I'm not doing this for men. I'm doing this for God. I'm serving Jesus. So the gift of helps is honorable. The gift of helps is, I think the people with the gift of helps who actually go forward and develop their gift will receive far greater rewards than many people who stood behind a pulpit and preached phenomenal sermons every week. I think people with the gift of helps who are behind the scenes, who aren't receiving any recognition, they will have more jewels in their crown to throw before the feet of Jesus than those who receive the accolades of men and the congrats of men and the kudos of men. Because you guys rob me of my jewels all the time. Get done with a sermon and someone comes, that was a great sermon. Oh, thank you so much. I'm going, no, don't do that to me. I want the treasure up there. I'm joking around, of course, but please tell me how great my sermons are. It is the heart. I'm not preaching to hear how great my sermons are. It is the heart, regardless of where you serve. It's the heart. But the gift of helps, when you move forward into serving the gift of helps, you can't have a bad heart in that because you won't last. You'll get burnt out and you'll leave and because nobody's thanking you, but you'll find out that you were doing it for the wrong reason. So in developing this gift, consider Jesus and consider that He, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, Creator of the universe, came and washed feet. And he didn't do it for the accolades of men. And so we too need to check our heart as we begin to move forward in exercising the gift of helps. We need to make sure that our heart is pure in what we're doing and then move forward accordingly. So with that, I want to give you guys some ideas about how you can move forward exercising the gift of helps. We'll talk about inside of the church, and we'll talk about outside of the church. And then we'll talk about future vision for this. Inside of the church, there's a maintenance ministry. And there's a maintenance ministry that is helping to maintain this building. The ACs, the electricity, the light fixtures, everything about this building at some point in time is going to break down. And we want to do preventive maintenance, and we want to do all kinds of things to help this building run properly so that when you get here, it's warm in the winter and it's cool in the summer and the lights work and all the stuff that you take for granted. I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know, you walk in and you just get to enjoy the fact that there's electricity and the band, you know, you can hear them through the speakers. And we need to move forward in developing a ministry of men and women who can come along and help to fix all that stuff. There's also building prep. Every service, there was a team of people who came in and actually made the building nice, cleaned the bathrooms, vacuumed the rugs and whatnot. That happens every Wednesday, happens every Sunday. This team needs to grow, especially when we move out of this building and move into a bigger building because we've grown too big for this building. A bigger building means that there's more to clean. So that ministry needs to grow as well. Women's ministry. Get plugged into women's ministry. They have a hospitality ministry. Of course, guys, I'm not talking to you at this point, but they prepare food for Wednesday nights. I mean, when we release for the last 30 minutes of this service, we're going to go back there and eat some great food. That's the hospitality ministry in the women's ministry. That's the gift of helps at work. How about food for sick people? You know, they can't feed their families. We want to take them food. There's food for new mothers who just had a baby and they can't cook for their families. They're busy taking care of their kid. They're up all night. We want to make sure that women with the gift of helps who want to cook food for these families are doing that. What about children's ministry? And you're thinking, well, I can't teach kids. But there's so many other aspects to children's ministry. I mean, there's teaching assistants. The teaching assistants, they go get water for the kids, they get the snacks out for the kids, they prepare, you know, the copies of lessons, and, you know, they're taking kids to the bathroom, and they're doing all of this stuff to free up the teacher so the teacher can focus on teaching the kids. So be a teaching assistant. That takes the gift of helps. What about outside the church? Those are things that you can do inside of the church, and there's more, but I'm just giving you guys some ideas of where you can go and develop your gift. Outside of the church, there's two groups there. You got your neighbors and you got your family, right? Reach out to your neighbors by helping them. If you have the gift of helps and you have that heart to maybe offer to mow their lawn, man, go for it. Don't sit there and think that, oh, that I don't know if I'm supposed to do that. You know, chances are that's the Lord putting that on your heart. Offer to mow an overgrown lawn or offer to repair a gutter that may have fallen after a storm, or get to know your neighbors and just offer to lend them a hand if you have the gift of helps. A family member, you know, if you got a family member that starts hinting around about needing some help, you know, we can kind of be bitter towards our family at times. You know, we're so used to them and their problems. But jump at the chance. Jump at the chance to help your family member if they need a little help. But I want you guys to realize the vision that I have for this church. It's a very hands-on vision. I want to see a helps outreach where we're going into the community and setting up a ministry where we go to elderly people's homes and, you know, fix problems at their homes. Maybe we've got elderly people that don't have a working AC and the summer's rolling around. Man, I'd like to send a team of AC guys over to fix their AC so that when the winter or the summer rolls around, they've got an AC that works. What about single mothers who are so busy and working and trying to take care of a couple of kids and their car breaks down? I mean, what if we had a Shade Tree mechanic ministry here where we were helping single mothers whose cars were broken down? We could bring them onto our lot and, you know, spend a couple of hours, you know, repairing this or changing oil or doing whatever we could. Imagine if we took all the people in this church who have the gift of helps and actually started using them for what they could do. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I just fix cars. What could I do? How could I serve God with that? You can. You can serve God with that. You can take something that's temporal and make it spiritual by committing the work to God. And under the banner of the church, move forward in the name of Jesus Christ to use that gift of helps to help people like church leaders, church members, and people that are lost. So that's just a little bit of my heart and a little bit of my vision about how we can take the most manual, simple things that we do in the secular workforce, turn it into something spiritual, and use it for the glory of God. That's the gift of helps. And so that concludes this study of this gift. Next week, we will look at the gift of counseling and consider if God's given us that gift as well. Let's have a word of prayer.